How you doing, everybody? God bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord. And today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow is past. And we all know, yesterday is past. We know that tomorrow is up to the Lord. I've been spending a lot of time with young children, not necessarily at the age of accountability, but young children. You know, and I never blame young children for their behavior. Because they're innocent. They're just doing what comes naturally. You can learn about yourself watching a young child. If you have the patience and the fight to do that. But young children have to be trained. It doesn't matter if you buy a German Shepherd that's worth $25,000. If you don't train that German Shepherd to do his duty outside, and he continually does it on your rug, who cares what it's worth? He hasn't been trained. Children have to be trained. But it's interesting to see naturally how a child behaves. And I want to just hit on a few topics because how a parent views a child is somewhat of a mirror of how the Lord views his children. So a lot of times you'll see a parent-child relationship. And if you meditate on it enough, you'll see God in us. One thing God does not like is murmuring and complaining. And you'll hear a lot about that from a young kid, from a little kid. Are we there yet? Or why do we have to do this? You give them a little chore to do. Oh, I don't really want to do it. They do it for 1 minute. I've been doing it forever. Whining, complaining, murmuring. They're being honest. It's in them. And it's in us. And just like it's wearing to a parent, we're wearing to the Lord when we complain about our situations, whether they be financial, medical, whatever they might be. We can't complain, gang. You know, the Lord puts pieces to this puzzle together each and every day in our lives. And we might not necessarily know how these puzzle pieces fit. That's why it tells us we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And regardless of how bad the situation is, might be with a child, might be with a spouse, might be with a close friend, might be with a boss at work, etc. No matter how tough these situations are, don't let a spirit of complaining and murmuring get on you. I'll just read a couple quick verses. Numbers 1. This is after the children of Israel had been in the desert and the Lord was taking care of them. And when the people complained, they started complaining, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Little bit of complaining, God in the Old Testament, vote burnt the place up. That's the God of the Old Testament. He does not like complaining then or now from us. And don't take it lightly. Me first, don't take it lightly. Like you might see it in a young kid, murmuring, complaining. Parent, you got to use patience, deal with it, get rid of it. You don't get anything accomplished when your flesh nature or your human will doesn't like what it's going through and you just start whining about the situation. Another verse in Jude 1:16. These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Just murmuring and complaining again, swelling words, all about lusts. I'm not getting what I want. This is what I want. This is what I need. I got to have that. Murmuring and complaining. Cut it out. Next thing, dealing with young kids. Very rarely is there contentment. There's always, as soon as the activity is over, what's next? You know, what's going on now? I'm bored. What are we going to do? You know, Contentment has to be taught, because there again, your flesh nature is never satisfied. It always wants more. And we see this in young children. A parent could bend over backwards, take them on this trip, this field trip, that field trip. Within a half hour, it's totally forgotten. What's next? And it could be wearing on a parent. Well, us, when we aren't content, when we aren't grateful, again, when we murmur or complain, let's look at a verse on it. 1 Timothy 6:6. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and the destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Quit shooting for all the money. Quit shooting for the bigger house. Quit shooting for everything. Quit shooting for, you know, trying to fill this life with goals to attain contentment. No. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content. Know where you are in the Lord. And when we focus on the Lord and focus on the cross and realize what he's done for us, and when we realize where we're heading, we will be content. When we realize that we aren't here for our own being, that we're here for the glory of God, we were made for him, then you will be content in wherever you're at. But if it's just based around what you see, taste, touch, smell, and hear, it's a bag with a hole in it. Just like that little child who's never content to their, with their parents, the parents are bending over backwards, and then eventually it gets wearing. The parent throws his hands up, what do I have to do now? No, you don't have to do anything now. Maybe you have to teach the kid to relax. Teach him to rest. Teach him to meditate and, heck, maybe even look at a bird or a tree versus all this activity. Same goes for us. Foolishness. You know, little kids specialize in it. Foolish talk, foolish quirks, doing stupid stuff, not thinking before they do anything, not thinking of the ramifications or the consequences of what they've done. This is a child. That's why a parent has to teach a child, you know, and get the foolishness out of him. The Lord says in the Old Testament that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and a rod of correction gets rid of it. Correction will get rid of foolishness. Let's look at a little bit about foolishness for us. Let's go to Mark 7:22. This is the Lord talking. And he said, to that which comes out of a man defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceitfulness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. You know what the last one is? Foolishness. He puts this in with all these other, what mankind even considers biggies, murders and adulterers. Foolishness. And if you look up the word foolishness in the Greek, I have it written down. It's folly and it's recklessness. Folly and recklessness. Not paying attention to your situation. And a lot of times as adults, the foolishness comes out of our tongue. Obviously, the foolishness will come out of your behavior. Reckless behavior. No taking every thought captive. No thinking of God before you talk or act or speak. Just there again, going off of your fleshly emotions before you do anything. Just like a young kid, foolishness can make him a heartache for his parents, whether it be, you know, driving bikes off of hills and doing crazy things on mini bikes or whatever it is, recklessness. You know, not thinking of what it might do to your body, not thinking about anything. And then you have the, you know, it seems like perpetual rides to the emergency room. I might be stretching a little bit, but you get it. You get it. And we're told in the New Testament, Jesus mentioned it, foolishness. And this is a parent, he has to watch out with foolishness with his child. The Lord is warning us. Don't be reckless with this salvation that the Lord has given us. Don't consider it folly. No, be serious in this walk. Be sober-minded in this walk. Realize you do have an enemy, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to devour you. He's seeking who he may devour. He wants to steal the word immediately. This is the enemy. He wants to live in a temple. He wants to do his evil words through evil deeds, words through you. But thank goodness, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that convicts us and warns us so we could put up the shield of faith against all these literally fiery missiles of the enemy. So beware of foolishness. Now wrap it up. Good old-fashioned patience. Patience. It is very tough to get patience out of a young child. Why? Because they can't focus. They don't focus. They, you know, you have to teach them to sit in that chair. You might have to teach them, hey, sit in that chair 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They have to work at it. They got ants in their pants. Little kids, you give them a job, no patience. They get bored with it after a minute, after 2 minutes. They have to be taught. They have to be trained. They have to be shown. Time has to be put into them to teach it. It's just not a screaming or a yelling session. Time has to be put into that child by that parent to teach them patience. Just like the Lord teaches us patience. I'll go there a couple places in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, you might do the will of God and you don't get the answer immediately. You have to wait. That's what patience is about. As a Christian, many times patience is the ability to live by faith and not go by what you see. You're waiting for the promise. You're just being obedient. You're walking in faith. You might not see things happening. You might not see a change in that child. You might not see a change in this situation. And guess what? You might never see it, gang, on this side. That's not relative. You have patience as you wait till the Lord takes your breath away. Last verse. Hebrews 12. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so many great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Just as that little child. See, the little child might not have the capacity to see what's ahead. He doesn't see the job when it's finished. He's just really annoyed doing the job. He doesn't see what's ahead. But what we're supposed to do, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And we're warned that sin is so easily could knock us off our block. Stay in Jesus, gang. You know, I went over murmuring, contentment, foolishness, patience. The Lord, in our relationship with Him, touches base on all of those things. Because remember, this is a walk with Jesus. Yes, we're saved by faith. Yes, we can do nothing for our salvation. It was Him on the cross. However, He does pass the football on to us, okay? Because now He's given us the ability to overcome. So now it's up to you to overcome. Yes, you have to die to your flesh nature. You have to sacrifice it. You have to be a living sacrifice and no longer go by your lusts. But when they attack you, you die to them. You say, no, Lord, I prefer you, Jesus, over revenge. Lord Jesus, I prefer you over lust and sensuality. This is how it works. We're let in on a mystery, gang. While we're here, it's a walk and a fight. Well, God bless all yous. Jesus Christ is Lord, and amen.